Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm your host, Jason Logan. It's Wednesday, May 17th, which means postseasons in the NHL and the NBA down to just four teams. And then we have a busy weekend of sports betting, a great weekend of sports betting. We got PGA Championships going to be in the mix there Saturday and Sunday. We got the Preakness Stakes running on Saturday. And my love, my summer love, WNBA betting tips off Friday. I love my dub. We're going to talk some Preakness here with Rob Cascola, who covers the ponies here for Horse Racing Nation, as well as ourselves at Covers.com. Get his best bets for the second jewel of the Triple Crown. I've got some NBA bets for Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals, which tips off tonight, Heat and Celtics. And then also, too, I might have a wager for the Lakers-Nuggets Game 2, which is tomorrow. And then, of course, Arthur DeCesar from the Las Vegas Superbook is going to come in here, wrap it all up with some action reports straight from the mecca of sports betting. And joining me behind the scenes, as always, in the Sharp 600 is producer Dell. Dell, we're going to flash back to a couple weeks ago, and you worked me over pretty good there on the basketball court. We had a little get-together in between our workload. We went out, we played some four-on-four, and winner stayed. And you got out there, you got me on both ends. You were blocking some shots. You were hitting some bombs as well, too. And we're going to have a rematch next year, brother.
Yeah, we're going to have to run it back. I played Mike Poole, actually, before, earlier in the day, and we got cooked. So I'm like, oh, maybe I got to start trying a little harder on the court here. And then, sadly, you got second, so had to try a little harder. I saw you hit a couple faders in my face, and then I said, okay, so now I'm going to have to try a little more.
Yeah, and you are quite tall, too. How tall are you?
6'4".
6'4". No, you're taller than that.
No, I don't know. What are you, 6'3"?
6'4"? About 6'3", 6'4". Yeah. So I figured you were taller than that. You definitely got them young legs. I will give you that. You get up and down. Hit some bombs. Hit some banked bombs as well, too. The bank was open late that evening. But now we gotta get back at it next year. Training starts for me now. I've got to get my pride back. So I'm fucking coming for you.
Stay focused.
Beware. reminder too, if you like what you hear on here on the Sharp 600 podcast, please rate and review it, leave some feedback, let us know what you like to hear. We definitely appreciate all that. We're here with horse racing analyst Rob Cascola, making his 600 debut. Preakness Stakes, always more interesting when we have that Derby winner pushing for the Triple Crown. Does Mage have what it takes this year to kind of keep this going and keep hopes alive?
Well, I would say in a word, yes. But ultimately, I don't think he's going to be my top pick. Mage is lightly raced. He's only raced four times. I think he has a lot of room to grow still. But, you know, ultimately, I was looking at the training pattern going into the Derby, and the trainer was one of probably the only one who was putting multiple 6-furlong works into his horse. So he was definitely like, you know, he was going to get the distance or die trying that day. So, I mean, cutting back a 16th, I think, will help Mage out a little bit in some aspects, but also because he missed the break in the Derby by about a length. It didn't kill him. As a matter of fact, it may have helped him a little bit because he didn't get pinballed around at the start like some of his gate neighbors did.
Yep.
But, you know, for a horse that likes to come from way out of it, there's always going to be that element of, is he going to, you know, run into traffic or not? And then, of course, the other thing is that he's the only horse in the field that's going to be coming in off a 2-week layoff, whereas a lot of other horses will be 3, 4, 5 weeks. So there's a reason a lot of trainers don't do it anymore. It's over time you see more and more horses benefit from extra weeks of rest. So Mage has that going against him as well.
All right. Bob Baffert has a horse in the mix here, National Treasure, among the top horses after being banned from the Derby. Does Always Bet Baffert, which a lot of people will follow, does that carry over to the Preakness? And what do you like about this horse this week?
I don't think you should just bet this horse blind just because it's Baffert. I mean, for starters, I don't think he's impossible, but for starters, he drew the rail, which Baffert will always say that he hates, and it's true. A lot of people don't like the rail. It kind of forces a jockey's hand. I mean, listen, he doesn't have a bum on him. He has John Velasquez, a Hall of Famer. So, you know, he could work out. What I think will happen is that, like, Coffey or Chris will go to the lead. That's the four. And what National Treasure will try to do is get off the rail and sort of get into the two path and maybe stalk second or third. If he if he gets that kind of setup, he'll have, you know, a shot to run his best race ultimately. But I'm not sure if his best race is good enough, and he could be sitting on his best race because, you know, as a 2-year-old, so after he won his initial race, he had like a couple of like in the money finishes, like he didn't win. He comes back, he runs disappointing in the Sham Stakes, I believe it was, at Santa Anita, and then he misses a scheduled start. So then, you know, they lay him up for a month. It's, you know, unscheduled. They decided to throw him into Santa Anita Derby then to try to get into the Kentucky Derby. Ultimately, if it doesn't happen, he runs fourth. So this was definitely plan B. But that being said, you know, it's his third start as a 3-year-old. He could be sitting on his lifetime best race. I just think that Baffert horses aren't typically the ones that just keep getting better and better and better as they go on. It's like they show up with, like, you know, first time out, if I got 80 or 90% of what they could be, and then they get to 100% fairly quickly. So I just, ultimately, I think National Treasure, like, his ceiling in this race would be third.
All right. Okay. Preakness, the shorter distance of the three Triple Crown races. What do you look for in a horse when it comes to capping this particular race?
Well, it's only a 16th of a mile shorter. It's really not all that different from the Derby. People often talk about how the turns of Pimlico are tighter than at Churchill. It's very, very slight. Also, the length of the stretch from Pimlico relative to Churchill is just a little bit smaller. We're talking about less than 30 yards. So I would say it helps speed horses ever so slightly more. So that works against Mage only to some extent. I feel like with the Derby being like, you know, an 18 horse sort of thing where you have to almost get a little bit lucky to get through sometimes as a closer, you know, what Mage doesn't have going for him in terms of the track layout, he gets it back in terms of not having to negotiate as much traffic.
Okay, so we got about a minute here. Give us the trifecta for Saturday's race, as well as any live long shots that you think are worth a wager at Pimlico.
So my top choice is going to be First Mission. He's the eight drawn all the way to the outside. He's going to make his fourth lifetime start. So much like Mage, you know, he has a high ceiling, a lot of upside. He won the Grade 3 Lexington at Keeneland last month. It was a pretty nice, very well-rated effort. Looked good, passed the eye test to me. I think he's got a little bit of room to grow. And you've got trainer Brad Cox and jockey Luis Saez. They teamed up to win the Belmont 2 years ago with Essential Quality. Mage, I'm going to put second. I liked him in the Derby. I'm not ready to like just jump off the bandwagon now. I don't think the Derby was a fluke by any means. I just think he's going to have trouble really running his A game on a 2-week turnaround while also fending off everyone else's A games. Okay. For third, and this is the long shot I'm going to try to sneak in.
All right.
At 15-1, number 6 Performer, I think is one that people ought to, you know, give a second look to. He last ran in the Federico Tessio Stakes at Laurel Park. That's considered the local prep. It's run at Laurel Park, also in Maryland. It hasn't typically been a great prep for the Preakness, but Performer seems to be like a sort of late blooming horse. He's trained by Shug McGahee, who doesn't really crank them up right away for success. They sort of race into success. And although he's had more starts than Mage and First Mission combined, I do think there's room to grow. We saw it in the Tessio. He gets shut off in traffic a couple of different times, really has a nightmarish trip. But all of a sudden, once he finds open space, boom, he just goes and he wins by less than a neck. It was either a head or a nose. I forget which it was now. But he was very obviously the best that day. So I look for him to come off the pace. He has the same jockey that rode him last time, Fear Gall Lynch. Not really a household name. competent jockey in Maryland. So I don't think, you know, that's a disadvantage for a performer. I like him to sort of roll from off the pace, get third, maybe second. I'm not really thinking he's going to win, but I wouldn't say he's impossible.
All right, so performer with a little live long shot. A little live long shot to be in the mix.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks, Rob Criscola. You can check him out. He does racing coverage for Horse Racing Nation, and then also, too, you can check all his Preakness picks and predictions out on covers.com. Thanks so much for coming on, Rob.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
All right, as we talked about, a couple bets here for Game 1 in the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm back on the BAM bus with over on Adebayo, over 17.5. I've played his over the last three games. He came up big in all three of those games. Projections for Game 1, they all sat higher than 17.5, which is where his point total is. Some were even closer to 20. My number was just over 19 points. He's roughed up Boston's defense already this season, so I like BAM to have a night 18 or more. I took Kyle Lowry under 10.5 points against what is a solid Celtics backcourt defense. Lowry's projections all come in shorter than 10.5. My estimation, around 9.9. He averages only 8 points per game on the road in the postseason, and his shooting takes a serious dip. 37.5% shooting on the road compared to 53% at home. I think the Beantown crowd gets at him. I think the defense locks him down. He goes for less than 11 tonight in Game 1. I love Derek White tonight, and we got to see if he's going to start, and I'm going to see if he's going to play some major minutes, but I think there's an opportunity here for Derek White props. I like his over 7.5. I like his on points. I like his over 1.5 assists, which has been juiced, and you can play some alternative markets because I have this guy projected for 13 and 4 assists. So I've taken some alternative markets. I've parlayed some alternative markets, but I think Derek White is going to get those minutes back. The Celtics, they went big, brought in Robert Williams to the starting lineup, and White didn't play much in those final two games, and books really aren't adjusting for this. I expect him to play a lot more tonight against a smaller Heat team, and I think he's going to get over these pretty modest totals tonight. And then tomorrow, Game 2, Nuggets and Lakers, taking Aaron Gordon over 13.5 points. This one at plus 100, even money. Gordon's projections sit out there in the 16-point range, but his prop totals are slimming after he went under in 5 straight games. He had 12 points in Game 1. I think his total was the same, 13.5. He missed some foul shots. Could have easily had 14 points. I'm coming back on this one. I think there's some great value on Gordon to score 14 or more tomorrow night. 2-minute drill time with Arthur de Cesar of the Las Vegas Superbook. Arthur, an update on NBA futures here in the series price for Lakers Nuggets after that. What was a really fun Game 1?
A lot of fun. Nuggets are now minus 275, but you've seen action on the Lakers for Game 2. I expect a lot of Laker money in Game 2.
All right, it was an interesting game. How about the action for Heat-Celtics series price? What we're seeing going into that Game 1 here tonight?
You know, the Game 1 action has been light. I think there will be a lot of in-game opportunities. Celtics were minus $6, now minus $5.50 on the series. A lot more people taking exactas. Celtics at 4, 5, and 6.
All right, right on. Preakness Stakes this weekend. Mage going for that second jewel, the Triple Crown. Which horses are drawing money? Which horses are the respected horse guys going at here?
Blazing Sevens is a big one.
All right.
Yeah.
What's the odds on Blazing Sevens?
He's in the 7-to-8-to-1 range, so he's kind of like the third choice, because I think National Treasure is the second choice.
Yeah, the Baffert horse, yeah.
Yep.
All right, PGA Championship as well. You guys at the Superbook, you pull out all the stops when it comes to the majors. Who are the popular picks to win at Oak Hill this weekend?
Yeah, majors are a big deal for us. Rahm and Scheffler are obviously very, very high on the board, both 8-to-1. Everyone else is going to be double digits. Someone who's just under 20-to-1, who's gotten a lot of love, Patrick Cantlay.
All right. Stanley Cup playoffs, too, down to their final four teams. Give us the skinny on the Cup futures, series prices for the East and the West.
When you look at the series prices, Canes minus 135 to take the Eastern Conference. Knights minus 150. They were as high as 55, so some Dallas money came in. Knights are now the Cup favorite.
All right, could be a big thing there, too, for if the Golden Knights can pull that off. And before I let you go, my wife's birthday is coming up. What should I get her?
You know, I saw this question. I feel like you're setting me up to be a fall guy. Like, if it doesn't go well for you, I get blamed. No. I've always heard diamonds are a woman's best friend.
Oh, shit.
So go with diamonds.
Oh, buddy, come on now. I got 3 kids and bills to pay. Diamonds, come on. Come on. She's got her share of diamonds. I did get her as a sneaker guy, and I know the horn went, but as a sneaker guy, I got her Polaroid Dunks last year.
Oh, that's great.
Because she's a photographer, and she likes
it. I love that.
Man, listen, it's rough. I got Mother's Day, wife's birthday, anniversary, all within like a 4 week span.
Man, that's a tough stretch.
Yeah, yeah, that one hurts. That one hurts. I got to win some bets this weekend to cover my losses. So.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks so much. Thank you, Arthur. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Dell. Thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, please rate and review the Sharp 600 podcast. We will talk to you next week. Good luck with your bets.